Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back here at St. Catherine's UM. Lots of familiar faces and many old friends going back longer than I care to admit. Think of Margaret and Carol, who Silver Lake buddies from just a couple of years ago. So it's just good to be here as God's people. Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for the opportunity to share with you about the life of the wider church. And we sometimes forget we're not alone. You're part of a faith community of congregations, 100 plus, but 110 some churches, depending how we count, right across eastern Canada, spreading as far as Petit Kodiak, New Brunswick, as far north as Hunta, as far west as Windsor, and as far south as Harrow, just even a little further south than Leamington. That's who we are. As you heard, worshiping in 17-some languages this morning. 20% of us in our congregations, 20% of the congregations meeting this morning, will be from new Canadian background. So we are a rapidly evolving faith community. And you belong to a very rich, vibrant faith community across eastern Canada. And so I bring you greetings on behalf of that faith community this morning. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've entitled my reflections this morning, Pushing Out into Deep Water. As I move across the church these days, and not just Eastern Canada, as I was saying in Sunday school, the regional churches of Mennonite Church Canada now are working side by side in a way that they have never done before. We're meeting bi-monthly as leaders. We meet in person up to 8 times a year. We're sharing resources. We are reinventing and reinvigorating our nationwide faith community. But as I experience the church across the country and across eastern Canada, my observation is that there's often a lot of hand-wringing going on in the churches these days. And if St. Catherine's UM is like most congregations out there, like many of our faith communities, the anxiety levels are fairly high. Whether we're looking at our own faith community, our denomination, or the place of the church in our society across this wonderful country of Canada, there's often a sense of disquiet and unease. I think it's clear to us in the church that something has changed. We know what's changed. We can't always put our finger exactly on what it is, but we know that something is different. It's definitely not the way it used to be. And if the truth be known, the change we are experiencing in church and societies these days is moving at a record-breaking pace. Sometimes it feels to me like the ground is actually shifting right under our feet. If we believe what the pollsters and statisticians are telling us, the church's place in Canadian society is taking a very hard hit these days. Just follow me here on a few basic statistics. Think back to the mid-1980s. At that point in time, about one-third of Canadians still attended a weekly worship service, and that was primarily Christian worship services. So from the 80s, fast forward now to 2007, at which point we're told about 20% of Canadians said they attended religious services weekly. And then not that many years later, 2007, 2013, the data suggests that the number at weekly attendance had dropped to 13%. And now that figure included not just Christians, but people of all faiths. These days, it seems that the most popular sanctuaries on a Sunday morning are perhaps the ones at the hockey rink. And truth be said, in Canadian culture, it's often said that hockey is a new religion and Quebecers just own that right out flat. Now, the good news for us in our churches is that that attendance number is not quite as a dramatic drop as in the mainline churches. But ask any of our pastors and they'll tell you that regular attendance is no longer once a week. Regular attendance in church is maybe once a month, twice a month if you're lucky. Our patterns of attendance are changing. Our ways of relating to the church are changing. And inside the church, things can also be challenging. And I probably don't need to tell you about that. Churches are finding it harder and harder to attract volunteers. Instead of a commitment of 3 years to a volunteer term, it's often more like a three-month commitment. Better yet, can you just ask me to do that for 3 weeks? We look around us and wonder, where are the youth and young adults? Where have they disappeared to? Well, you can find them on their smartphones. It's a lot harder to find them in church. And our congregational, and that also means then our church-wide budgets are under pressure. And it seems like every year we're having to do with less, and yet the need seems to increase. Same thing at the denominational level. Resources are shrinking, and the demands upon us are growing all the time. Congregations are needing and wanting more support, but there are less dollars available to respond. The demands and invitations for international witness ministry, like I was sharing this morning in Sunday school, are growing. The capacity to respond is not always there as we would like. So sometimes in the church, it can actually feel like nothing's working anymore. So those of us who are dedicated to the mission of the church, how do we typically respond? Well, we buckle down and work longer and harder. And yet at times it feels like the longer and harder we work, the less we have to show for it. Frankly, there are times the church can feel like a demoralizing, disillusioning place to be. Maybe church just isn't working anymore. So if any of this sounds at all familiar to you, then I suspect you can resonate with a scripture story that we heard this morning. Let's unwrap this story a little bit together. We heard the reading from Luke chapter 5. So here's the pop quiz. If you're listening to the children's story, to the scripture, what time of day is this happening? When is this story? Yeah, starts in the morning. And the fishing escapade is probably late morning, it's my guess. Maybe noon. The clue is, Master, we worked all night, so we know it's got to be at least morning, but that's when we told Jesus is doing his teaching, right? But we also want to go back to what we learned in the kids' story. It's obviously post-morning, because fishing is always done at night. That's when you do it. That's when the fish are available. That's when they don't see your nets. That's when you go fishing. You clean and mend your nets in the morning. Everybody knows that. So the fishermen were there cleaning and repairing their nets, and Jesus asked to borrow their hard-worked boat for the morning. And Jesus teaches the crowds who are trampling in on him. And after it's all done, he probably thinks, I owe these fishermen a little rent for their boat. They've been so kind to me. Why don't I take them out fishing? And so Jesus offers Peter and his companions some rent for the boat. Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Can you imagine Peter? He's been working all night. I'm sure he let out a deep sigh and says to himself and then out loud, Master, we've been working all night. We've caught nothing. Now here's where you need to read between the lines and listen to what's going on inside Peter's head. I think Peter is actually saying to Jesus, you're a carpenter, right? You really don't know anything about fishing, do you? If you knew anything about fishing, you'd know that the time for fishing is past. That was night. This is maybe noon already, Jesus. The fish are going to see our nets. Like, let's be realistic here. And Jesus, I'm sorry, but your ignorance is really showing here. If you know anything about commercial fishing, we don't go out into deep water. It's sort of near the shoreline, just off there, where we can walk out and throw our nets. We've always done it that way, Jesus. That's how you fish. Then Peter kind of snaps out of his internal reverie and says, whispers probably to his pals, okay, guys, let's not totally embarrass him. Let's just humor him. Teach him a thing or two about fishing. Maybe I can teach him about fishing and why we do it at night, and maybe he can come back and fix that broken table at my house. Besides, guys, this fishing thing just doesn't seem to be working anymore, no matter how hard we try. Nothing we do seems to have much results anymore. I'm about ready to pack in this fishing stuff. Maybe carpentry is the way to go. So Peter tries to humor Jesus and turns back to Jesus and says, yet, if you say so, I'll let down the nets. And you know the rest of the story. So what do we learn from this story? I think, like Peter, we can sometimes feel like nothing is working anymore. I have put in so much labor, and look how little I have to show for it. We just want to throw up our hands in despair. We decide to throw in the towel, pack up the church, and then go down to the rec room and get some real religion by watching another game of hockey. Actually, for me, the temptation would be to go down to the rec room and watch some curling. Or maybe we need to pay more attention to the voice of Jesus inviting us into new ways of thinking and acting. Like Peter, we may think we know how to do it. We've always fished that way. We always fish at night. It should work. Church choirs have always worked in the past. Why aren't they working now? And you seem to manage to keep one going here, but that's the exception, folks. Most of our choirs are down to Christmas and maybe Easter, if you're lucky. And youth group was a fantastic experience when I was a teen. Why is it so hard to have a youth group anymore? Our women's group, our women of MCEC and women of Midnight Church Canada, used to be active, vibrant, missionary-supporting groups. As of December 1st, both of those made the decision to close their doors. It's not working the way it used to. And the list could go on. And let me just say that Women of MCEC has been a wonderful thing, and it will probably get reinvented in some new ways. But the way it worked does not meet the needs of younger women these days. So like Peter, maybe we're discouraged because we've been working so hard and it feels like we have so little to show for it. You labor all night and you still have nothing. I wonder what Jesus wants to say to us today. Maybe the risen Christ is inviting us to cast our nets into deep water, even during the day. Maybe the church is being asked to experiment with new practices and try new approaches that don't readily seem obvious, like fishing at noon. Are our assumptions so entrenched in terms of what we think the church should be doing that we just keep on doing what we always have? Let me just inject a little story here that I heard from Saskatchewan a few decades ago about a farmer who thought he knew about farming on the prairies. You need lots of good fertile land. You need the biggest and best equipment. You need big driving sheds. And he was losing money hand over fist. He sold it all. He moved to the southern edge of Saskatchewan, bought up some of the worst land he could find, grasslands that were could have be had for a song, and tried something different. He started raising cattle, rotating them through the grassland, hardly any equipment, hardly any barns, no fertilizer, no inputs, no furrowing, And he raised organic beef, and he said, I'm actually making money. He redefined what a good farm was. He thought about how to do it differently. Perhaps the question is, are we willing to take a good hard look at what's happening around us? Are we truly open to listening for the wisdom of the Spirit in our midst? Perhaps the most important question is this. Where do we think that Jesus might be inviting St. Catherine's UM to cast its nets? Friends, despite the challenges facing the church right now, I, for one, am not ready to head to the rec room to get more religion by watching more hockey or curling. I think it's important for us to recognize that what we are experiencing in our society and in the church is a wave of historical change that is unprecedented, perhaps since the 16th century. The changes in our society are immense. At the time of the 16th century was the printing press, now it's computerization and the internet. Participation in church is no longer required in our society to be socially respectable. In the 50s or 60s, if you were a bank manager, you better have a church membership down the street at the United Church, or you would have no respect. You don't need that today. And it wasn't that long ago the church was the primary place for our social connections. That's where we made friends. That's where we found ways to serve. That's where we met people. But now, we have all kinds of social clubs, all kinds of sporting leagues, political organizations, all kinds of service agencies. We can connect anywhere. As a result, the church may be shrinking to some extent. But the good news is that those who are sticking with the church are here because they want to be part of a faith community that enriches them and supports them in their participation in what God is doing in our world. I believe in the long term we will have a solid core of people who are committed to listening for the voice of Christ. We will have faith communities that are dedicated to practicing the ways of Jesus and being God's loving presence in our homes, our schools, our workplaces. But I believe that what the church needs at this point in history is to be attentive to the voice of the Spirit, nudging us into new directions, inviting us out into deep waters to try new adventures with Jesus. But change is hard. We know how to fish with nets in shallow water at night. Is there another way to do it? Well, we can learn. And it's a lot easier when we do it together. St. Catherine's UM is not alone. You have the companionship of 100-plus churches across Mennonite Church Eastern Canada, and even more right across Mennonite Church Canada. This is the time when the church is facing challenges that we need to face them together, to learn from each other, and to support each other. As a community of congregations, Mennonite Church Eastern Canada, we are committed as congregations to supporting each other through these challenges. Together, we can help each other think about these challenges. We can help each other innovate, experiment, and adapt. And let me just share a few things very briefly about the way our congregations are trying to work at this. In MCEC, we've adopted a new learning approach called Relearning Community. It's congregations and teams coming together intentionally with each other to say, how do we think about being God's presence in our neighborhood? How do we think about fostering a disciple-making culture in our church and maybe in our community? And so those relearning community cohorts are working together and learning and experimenting with new things. We've innovated with a transitioning into ministry program for our new pastors to help them think about What does it mean to lead congregations in these challenging times? We also have a piece called Informed Conversations, where we help congregations sit down and take a good hard look at who they are, what their gifts are, and where God might be calling them to be. As a wider church, we've collaborated on helping churches find resources to deal with this new Me Too, Church Too movement. How do we address sexual harassment in our pews, in our workplaces, in our schools? How do we do that with integrity and in faithful ways? So you may have noticed the Sacred Trust materials we produced for you from MCEC that were in all your mailboxes about 2 years ago. In the spring, we produced something for our youth groups and for our camps called Safe Zone. What do healthy boundaries mean in our relationships at camp and among us as youth and young adults? We've helped our pastors work with this as well. We support their understanding of healthy boundaries. We're helping churches think about how do we address important social issues. So across MCEC, I think we have at least half a dozen TRC, Indigenous Settler Working Groups, asking about what does it mean to be in a relationship with our Indigenous neighbors. We have another working group on Palestine-Israel issues. What does it mean to be in a relationship with significant social issues like this? We also have regional ministers who are out there supporting Nick and Randy and our pastors on site, trying to be there to help pastors cope with the challenges they're facing in their work each week. And we're trying to find ways to provide resourcing for youth and young adult faith formation. The Yellow Young Adult Trip is something we've done for a number of years now that takes young adults with faith mentors to Israel-Palestine to say, what does Christian faith mean in this kind of conflictual setting? And we're helping, as you heard in Sunday school, congregations build connections to regional and international mission efforts. Our churches that are worshiping in 17 different languages are dragging us, and I mean that literally, back to their countries of origin because they want to share something about the Anabaptist faith that they learned and are now treasuring. Friends, the church may feel like a challenging place to be these days, but I also find it incredibly invigorating and exciting. The church is innovating all over the place, and lots of congregations are trying out life in deep waters. Sometimes that results in exciting new opportunities and adventures. And sometimes things don't always work. Here in St. Catharines, some of you may know, we tried the Quest Church plant. That was great for a period of time. Now, something different is needed. Just because it didn't work long term didn't mean it didn't work or wasn't valuable or wasn't a good experience. If we listen carefully to the voice of the Spirit speaking and dare to follow Jesus into deep water, we may be surprised by the results. It may mean letting go of some of the old ways. It also means we want to hang on to the old ways that have worked well and are still serving us well. Not everything is broken in the church, but some things in the church do need to change. We do need to ask, how do we adapt? How do we become relevant in the communities around us? How do we take the faith and belonging that we experience here at St. Catharines UM and share it with our neighbors who are longing for places of belonging and meaning and hope? Friends, we take that for granted. So trust me, congregations aren't going the way of the dodo bird anytime soon. Christ is Lord of the church. And I, for one, am confident that the risen Christ and the Spirit of Christ is leading us. I'm thrilled to see how God is leading the church today and renewing and strengthening it for a new time. This is the time in the life of the church when we need each other. Let's commit to supporting each other as we learn new ways, as we adapt And as we innovate in the midst of the new social context in which we're living, and as we resolve to follow Jesus together, especially when we feel he's calling us to cast our nets into deep water. Thanks be to God for the church. Thanks be to God for the Christ who faithfully leads us. Amen.